Good morning, Rabboisai! Lilu Nishmas Nimi Mirosi Ruspas Mordechai, Lilu Nishmas Yosef Ben Rachamim, from Kavosh family in Dallas, Texas, by Elchanan Pressman, in honor of Rebelli, managing to find the time, or at least trying his best to stop by our son Yehuda's Chasano last night. May we all continue to share in each other's simchas together. I have no doubt all of these simchas are caused due to the tremendous zechusim we all have from learning the daf of the Rebelli separately, in spite of still no chum b'shir just yet. Elchanan Pressman is the one that presses the issue that we should have a chum b'shir. Not going to happen. Paras HaChodesh by Michael Ben Mela, in memory of his mother Dvorafega Bas Shmuel and father-in-law Menachem Mendel Ben Elchanan Zechon Levracha, and in the merit to make it to Umar Rosh Hashanah this year. Rabbi, say, listen to this. One of the most interesting things happened to me today. There's someone from Los Angeles. His name is David Agal. He's been following the shir for 3 years. I was telling you guys about him. He surfs a lot and whatever. He flew in from Los Angeles today to say Mazel Tov to me. And he got back on the plane and went back to Los Angeles. So I'm taking that as a covet from everybody in the shir. He represented the entire shir. It was very heartwarming. He literally got off the plane, came, spent a few minutes, maybe a little bit more than a few minutes, and he went right back. So it was unbelievable. I said, so why don't you come to the chasana already? He said, no, your son wanted a small chasana. I have to respect that. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I thought it was amazing. Another very interesting thing happened today. The head recruiter, Yeshua Aaron Price, called me up. He said, I need you to get on a plane today and come to Miami. We're doing a get-together in Miami. So I said, you know, it's not a bad idea. I'm kind of the spur of the moment guy. So I went online. There were no tickets for today from Chicago to Miami that would arrive in time for shir. So I said, you know what? Cancel today and make the shir tomorrow in Miami. So that's what he did. So I'm going to be Bezer Hashem in Miami tomorrow. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? What's the address again? 524? Godfrey. Sweet 300. It's some sort of shul, I guess. I hope.
Eli, you missed me so much, didn't you?
Yeah. So Yosef Biliak is there, and Yeshua Aaron Price is there. That's another reason why I went, because I haven't seen them in a week. All right. The Kavosh family in Dallas says that his father tragically passed away 3 years ago in Dallas. And they were learning Shabbos. But what he's trying to say here, that he loved to build sukkahs each year from scratch and upgrade the sukkah from the previous year due to his love and passion of the yontif. May we all do the mitzvah of sukkah with the same simcha dedication as my father Yosef ben Racham. Amen. Another very interesting thing happened today. I received this email, and at the first I dismissed it as just another hate mail. I received very few of them, Baruch Hashem. And here's one. And then I took another look at it, and I kind of agree with this email. This is from Dan Friedman. He says, Dear Rebelli, I'm not a kanoi, but I must object to make it like Rev. Reuven Feinstein is so focused on getting clicks is a chutzpah. And you should not read such emails in public, especially if your point is they get more clicks than the Rosh Hashiva. Very distasteful. I know you provide entertaining shir, but it must be kosher entertainment, Dan Friedman. I thought about it, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I didn't think it through 100%. I was thinking about it like how I would appreciate it. If somebody made such a comment about me and I made it about them, it would be great. But then I realized this is a Rosh Hashiva, and it might have been Paganis Covet, so I made some phone calls to reach him. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to reach him, but I reached his gabbai, or somebody that knows him well, and we're going to have a shmooze. Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to ask him a chila, because it might have been pegay in a covet of a tremendous Talmud Chacham. This is from Mushka Cohen. I usually, whatever. This is, if a wife or a daughter is so into their father learning the Afiyomi, I'll read their email. It says, my father, Rabbi Eli Cohen from Pomona, New York, is a crazy fan of the Daily Daf. In the beginning, I didn't even know what this word was. I guess this is how they write in high school. S-R-S-L-Y. He seriously stays up to 12 a.m. to listen to yeshiva. Shows off his gemaras all day, four L's, all day while trying to convince people to join. I think you can consider him a personal missionary with all the people he's trying to convince. I wanted to know if you can give him a birthday shout out. Thank you very much. In advance, hatzlach and everything you do. So, tremendous. It's unbelievable that a daughter would go out of her way to figure out where and how her father's shir. Beautiful. Morty Tifferman says, Avir the Ara Machkim and having Nachman Seltzer breathing down your neck makes you sharper and funnier. Please come home. The Beis Medrash misses you and everyone misses the Beis Medrash. Chop another burger buddy from Ken's and Kumshon Tzirik Ahem. Maybe he didn't get the memo that my son is getting married on Sunday, but okay. And finally, do we have another minute? Of course. Yeah, I have another minute. Shui Davis said yes. That's hopefully, if you know Shui Davis, please call him up and drive him crazy. Tell him you saw that he watches the shir, he doesn't enjoy it, and he's making me crazy on the side here. So Mela, he deserves it. This is from Moshe Summers, University of Ohio. I joined the Daf Yomi for Sukkah. It's mostly Chazara, but I hope I get addicted enough by the end of the Masechta to continue. For all those saying your shir is not serious enough, I beg to differ. Although you start out and stick in lots of geshmak entertainment, when you're actually learning the Gemara, you're all in and possibly more serious. More, I don't believe that. More serious than many of the other more serious shirim out there. Big yishkar for all the work you put into preparing. Give the shir amazing serious nefesh. Big thank you to all those involved in keeping the shir going, editing videos and posting. And then he talks about AB, the chashav of Bachar, who asked the kasha on Daf Yud Ches, the 11-year-old, and he brings a carbon asanal. Check it out for AB. Simon Lamed Gimel Ois Tuf. He says this three tirutzim. And he says, Tais is only meant to say, Lavad Be'emtz Lachmir, blah, blah, blah. Koltov, Moshe Summers, University, he says that he sees that the kids in Chicago are halting cup. It's unbelievable. Yeah. P.S. I was friends with your brother, Verm Yeshaya, Avi, way back. Haven't seen him in probably 10 years. Please send him my warmest regards. Seder. Rabbi, here we go. We are, today is Daf Chof Aleph. And Chof Aleph means that we are 20 daf into the Masechta of Sukkah. You hear this, Lewis? A guy came all the way from Los Angeles to say Mazel Tov. It's not normal. So, another thing is that in Miami, the shir is at 7 o'clock Miami time, which means 6 o'clock Chicago time. So if you want to watch it live, it's earlier. Oh, talking about Lewis Kolem, your nephew, listen to this, your nephew, my Chavrusa, Rabbi Didi Kramer, scored on a 450 daf test, which the entire koil took, which, by the way, we all benefit from the koil in many different ways, with chidushim and different stuff and havar in the sugya. He scored on 450 daf from the beginning of brachas till today. He scored a 95. It's unbelievable, on a disher test. Guy's a genius. All right, says the Gemara. So we're holding like this. We're in the middle of the sugya of tuma that was created naturally, not by a human being. And even if it was created by a human being, he didn't have intent to create it. He put a bunch of wood, and on the pile, within the pile, there's cavities. Does that create a oil over the tuma? And Rabbi Yehuda says no. Says the Gemara, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reasoning? Top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Yalef oil, oil me mishkan. Ksivacha. Zois ha-toira, the famous pasuk. Zois ha-toira. Adam ki yomos ba-oil. We learned, whoever started Shas and Brachas. Ain't divri Torah miskaimim, elo b'mi shemei misatzmi olel. Torah sticks with you if you kill yourself over it. Many, many stories of Gdolim, but I will tell you one story from somebody from the Daf. I'm not going to mention his name. He's on Zoom right now. I'm actually looking right at him. It has to do with my Chavrus as well. My Chavrusa went over to him and asked him, you work so hard for MDY. The guy puts in hours every single day. He's not part of the crew that we always mention. We mention his name occasionally. He says, where did you come up with those extra hours? Like before MDY, what were you doing and now what happened? I mean, I'm talking about the chesed that this guy does constantly with the kids and the zachen and sending and going and coming. He said, he showed him his phone. He said, you see these movie apps? They miss me. That's what he said. So he's behind the scenes, but he's helping the Torah. He's meimis tatzma. I mean, it is today to sacrifice, not to watch tussim and to give up your time for Torah. Yeah, we don't even know what it means to be meimis tatzma. We sit in an air conditioned room and all the things and all the luxury, but meimis tatzma, to sacrifice for Torah, whatever your sacrifice is, for many, many people, it's not to watch an extra movie, not to learn Torah. Zois ha Torah adam ki yomis ba'ayil. Uchsiv asam. Shh. I don't want anybody to tell it to you. Uchsiv asam. Vayifrois esa oil ala mishkon. So we have a classic Gzer Shava. We have oil, adam ki yomis ba'ayil. That's referring to Tumas, mace in a tent, in a oil. And it says, Vayifrois esa oil ala mishkon, Moshe Rabbeinu. He spread the oil on top of the Mishkan. Ma'al alam bidei adam, just like by the oil. Moshe Rabbeinu did it himself. It was through human interaction. Afkam bidei adam. So too, when it comes to oil hameis, it must be done through humans and not through the salt in the water or a weasel or anything that has nothing to do with human interaction.
What about a king?
So I guess the same thing. If it was done by itself, then it's not. Yeah. He wants to know, what about a cave? Anything that was done bidei shomayim is not oil. Verabonon, oil, riba. A little bit of a balagan here because somebody was pressuring me to start this shir. So let me see. Oh, here we go. If you look at the pasuk, zois ha-toyro. Maybe I'll move this back a little bit. Sorry, Yosef, I don't know if this... Okay. Zois ha-toyro. You see all the reds? It says oil a number of times in the parasha. So we have extra words to be marba, even in a case that the oil was created by the shamayim, is still considered an oil. Ask the Gemara. V'savir b'yuda kol oil she'enoi osu b'dei adam enoi oil? Does Rabbi in fact hold that if it wasn't created by man, it's not considered oil? Verimino, we have a Mishnah in Oyalos. Now, it's a long Arichos Dvarim. We're going to get through it. It's a very simple, but the bottom line of the Gemara is they're going to see that an ox creates oil. And an ox obviously is not made by a human being. It's made by the Shomayim, yet it creates a mechitza and a chatzitza between the ox and whatever's going on in the ground, the dead people buried there, etc. Where do we see this? V'reminu, chatzeres hayu bnuyes b'Yerushalayim. What's amazing is, and we speak about it many times, they used to live tuma, like almost like we live, or we used to live COVID. You have to be careful from this guy, he's contaminated, and this guy, and then don't breathe. That's how they used to live. Everything was all about tumah, because they used to eat kachim and trumas. You had to be careful and then you had the pious people that were makbid also, and they had to be makbid on tumah. Today we don't know about such things. We're all tamit meimeis. Forget about it. Bezer Shem when Mashiach comes. Now, if we go back to Yuma, Rashi, this is all I'm just saying from Rashi. It's a whole arichas. When you go back to Yuma, remember we had that because of the tzedukim who don't believe in the Gemara and the Torah Shebal Peh, they used to say that the only person who could do the paraduma water and sprinkle it and make people tar are only people that are 100% tar, meaning that they already went to the mikveh the day before. They're not in Harav Shemesh. They're not a tful yayim. Tful Yai means that whoever went to the mikveh that day is not 100% tar until nighttime. We know that somebody that's Tful Yai could sprinkle it. They held not like that. So to show them, and to show them that they're wrong, they used to take a rat, touch the kayan, put him in a mikveh, and 5 minutes later he's busy sprinkling people to show them that they're wrong. But what happens is people are going to start lessening the chashivas of paraduma. Look, you can touch him with a rat, he's dead, maybe it's not so chashiv. So they went to the exact opposite extreme. What's the exact opposite extreme? The water drawn from, you can't even imagine the opposite extreme. Think about it. The water drawn for this paraduma water was only drawn by a 7-year-old who for 7 years lived on a stone, on a rock. Not only in Iraq, on a bridge on top of Iraq. And here goes. Think about the chumrah that they put in here for what? To show that this is not a joke. Yes, we were makel and we touched the guy with a rat, but don't make a litzonis out of this. This is the real deal. This is the parat duma. Says the Mishnah. There were courtyards in Yerushalayim. Al gabe asela, made on top of stone. What is the likelihood that there's a human being buried beneath the stone? 1%. V'tachteyem cholol. I'm just throwing out a percent. I have no idea what the percentage is. But it's very unlikely that somebody took heavy machinery and dug out a grave underneath a stone 500 years ago. But just in case, there was one nutcase that dug and dug and put his relative in that stone. So they did another thing. And they went and they built something that had a gap, like a bridge, so that there shouldn't be any problem from a caver that's in the depth. And they would bring pregnant women, maybe more than one, because you don't know if she's going to give birth to a girl, a boy, whatever the reason is. Who knows who's going to survive? Let's have a few of these kids. And you have a kid that comes out 100% pure. Now, Taisus points out, but wait a minute. What if the mother is a Tmeimei, so then we this. What if, the bottom line is, there's some problems here that could occur, and it's not going to be foolproof, but the point is we're going to be machmer to the highest degree of chumer that we know how to be machmer. Umegalis b'neim, v'yoldei shalom, and they give birth, umegalis b'neim. So, yeah. We got to show what for what? La para. All for the water of the para aduma. So, Rashi also points out, Tosis points, again, it's a mila. They did the best they know how to do just to make a point. But this is a crazy point. This is a 7-year point. You don't want an 8-9-year-old because he might have seen Kerry. It has to be a 7-8-year-old, up to 7 years old. And at least a kid that knows what he's doing, he can draw water. So practically 7 years old. Umevim shvarim, and they bring oxen, valgabeim dlosais. This we'll keep here for later. So let's see if I can find a shard that has adeles. My favorite picture is not here today. All right, Yosef will have to find it somewhere. Maybe Yosef could go into the drive, pull it out, and it says Shar Agab of Delis, I think, something. Maybe I can find it here. Hold on. Maybe I'll show you guys. Yeah. No. I got my own. Okay. The bottom line is I had a nice ox. I don't know where he disappeared. First of all, he's not printed. Second of all, he's not even on my word. Okay. An ox with a door on it. But also it had a kid on top of the ox. I want to show how the feet hang over the ox. Okay. So you'll imagine a different time. And these boys, sitting on top of the ox. Everything was done to the fullest care, not to become tame, not to a stone kois. And they came finally to Nahar Shiluach, that's where they drew the water from. Yardu l'toch ha-mayim umilum. So, first, the Tanakhama over here holds that there was a door, literally a plank of wood, so that the kids, their feet don't stick out to the sides of the bull. But once they came to the water, to be that concerned that there's a body, somebody buried a body in water, that doesn't make so much sense, so we weren't so concerned. And we don't want him to draw the water with the string, better that he draws it by hand with the cup. Va'alu, and they went on top of the bull, v'yashvulam, and they went back home. No, listen, we spent all this time and money and effort, let's not ruin it the last second. Throw the cup off the bull, off the door, grab some water. Mipnei kevato, I still have to be concerned. Perhaps there's some body underneath this water of Shiluach. Says the Gemara of Etanyo, Reb Yudah Omer, Loyo mivim dlasos, elo shvarim. I found a very interesting shar here. Do whatever you want to do with this. Tell me if it's fake, it's not fake. We brought a massive bull, massive. We don't need doors. We can't use doors. Doors perhaps don't work in this case. Door won't be a good oil. So we need to use a shar, a very wide shar. Says the Gemara of Ashvarim, Doyle Shani Osibidi Adamhu. Ashar. What are you ready getting the text, Rui? They're coming in. Beautiful. Ah, thank you, Oilam. Thank you. What's his number? Anybody? Put up on the screen. Shvarim Doyle Shani Osibidi. I beg him to come to the shir, and here I am. I'm putting him, I'm making chayzik of him. Are you guys texting from the back? That's what you thought. That's what's happening. It's Yoel Bergman. Good. Keep him busy. Baruch Hashem. Let him. The more he texts, the better. Fine. Sorry. Ask the Gemara of Ashvarim Doyle Shani Asibidi Adam Hu Viktani Rabbi Doimer Loy Mivim Blasis El Shvarim. What is the problem? The problem is that the Shar is made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not by humans. So it shouldn't create an oil. If you put a door on it, great. I understand it's a plank of wood. But he's saying don't use a door. You should use the shard itself. But how could you use the shard itself? Did I knock them off? No. Oh. Yeah, here it is. I don't know how he found it, but beautiful. Here's the shard with the door. It's a little schwach, but I wanted to show that I wasn't sure myself. When a person sits on the shard, here's a kid sitting on the shard. It says Tinoiko, so there's a girl here, but it means a boy. Hold on. It says that when a person is on a bull, their feet actually hang over the side and could become tameh. I wasn't sure about that. I thought maybe the bull is wide enough, but it's not. Okay. Here's the door. It's a shvacha door, but it's a door nevertheless. Okay. Great. It serves two purposes, that picture. Next. The shaila is, if there's a door, great. But if there's no door, how could an animal made by a Kadosh Baruch Hu create a oil? According to Rabbi Yehuda, anything made by Hashem is not oil. Says the Gemara, no. If it's the size of a fist, but what kind of fist? There's a guy by the name of Ben Avatiach. Funny, funny name. The son of a watermelon. He had a fist the size of a watermelon, basically. His fist was the size of a human head, says Rashi. And for different halachas, for Tumah going through a pipe, the size of a fist, but not stam a fist. The fist of Ben Avatiach, I didn't want to show the Olam again, Shaq's fist, because then the emails come in, whatever. Just imagine a guy that has a fist the size of a watermelon. Anyway, so what does the Gemara say? That if it's a huge fist, then if the cavity is the size of this huge fist, this big, the size of a head, then it creates an oil, even if it's made b'dei shamayim. So a nox obviously has from the ground till the stomach is a nice amount of, it's more than a human head, and therefore it creates oil. Tana me'alchim by the Rehuda b'shkifin. What? Doesn't have to be done. Anything more than an egg roif. 10 tefachim is for sure oil. But anyways, here we go. Shkifin is that a stone was here. You could see there was a stone in this hole, and it basically popped out. You know, sometimes you go on the highway and they have like, it says, you know, falling stones. You could actually, it happens, pops out a stone. So, ubenekike means that there's a hole within the stone. Nothing popped out. There's a little bit of a crevice in the stone. Very good. Crevice is a great word. Ubenekike eslein. So, Reb Yehuda admits, you see, why all of a sudden, why would he admit? It happened with Shemaim. Who knocked the stone out? Who made this crevice? That's how it was created. So Mela, he agrees because it's a large amount. It's more than an egg roif, than a human head. Then it's considered a oil. Ask Gemara Barei Deles, the Yeshbo Kama Egroifin, the door which is many fistful above the ground. Uktani Rabbi Doimer, lo yumivim blasis el shvarim. Gemara Ask Akasha, it seems like the door was no good. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say, don't use a door, just use an ox? Because he holds a door is no good. If a door is no good, if we're saying now that the ox itself, which is created by Shemayim, creates oil, so certainly a door. What's wrong with a door? A door is really meant to be horizontal. It's not really meant to create an oil. So it's a funny kind of oil, and therefore maybe that's why Rabbi Yehuda said don't use a door. Well, guess what? It's not funnier than an ox. And an ox, you're telling me, is a pretty good oil. So let a door also be oil. Says Gemara Marbaya, you're right. Of course it's oil. All Rabbi Yehuda was saying, you don't need to come on. It's a pain in the neck to put a door on top of an ox. You don't need a door. Just use an ox. Get a wider ox. Make sure the kid's feet don't fall off the side. Rav Amar, for another reason. No. You're not supposed to bring a door. But not because it's not an oil. Of course it's an oil. There's another problem. If a kid feels sturdy on an ox and he's on a plank of wood, so a kid is going to do what a kid does. He's going to stick his head over and check out what's going on. Once he sticks his head over, he's going to, 7 years in the toilet. We brought the kid's mother here. We brought him up. We spend all this time and effort. And at the last minute, he sticks his head over the door because he's an Iger cat. He's a curious cat. So that's the reason. But Rashi explains that if a kid is on an ox, he's a little scared. He has to be careful not to. He doesn't want to lean over because then he'll fall over. But if you put him on a door, he feels sturdy. Shemayitzi roisho yechem evarov, he'll stick his hand out to feel the air passing by. You know, that's a problem. V'yitma, and then it will come tamei. I'm just thinking about this kohen. I just have this vision. This kohen in charge of this kid for 7 years, making sure he never stuck his finger over any kind of anything. And they built him a bridge, and on top of the bridge, they built him a home, and the bridge was on top of a stone for 7 years. On the final day, where he has to go draw water, the shaita sticks his hand right off the thing. It's just a slap in the face. I'm sugar. Next, we have to wait another 7 years. I don't know. It's unbelievable. They do have multiple kids. One was this, one was that. One already stuck his hand out already. This is the final kid. Anyway, we just turned. He's going to become Tomei from a body underneath the ground. Daf Chof Aleph on Beis, sponsored by the MD White Healing Group for all those who need Shiduchim, Refuas, and Yeshuas. Please join Tehillim.8mindav.com. Tanya Kabbasid the Rava. Now we can fly a little bit, Chewy. Rabbi Yehuda Oymer, Lo Yehoi Mevim Blasis Kolikar. Mamish like this, it says in the Braise, they didn't bring doors. Why? Because he might, a kid, you know, a kid does, he touches things, he looks at things, he's curious. He's going to stick his head, stick his head right off the door. Elo Mevim Shvar Ma Mitzrim. We bring these tremendous oxen from Egypt. She creates the same real chavos. We have very wide bellies. It's better to use an ox than to use a door. Not that a door doesn't work. It works. It's just a problem. Stoneware. They came to the water. So they went off the ox. We're just repeating what we learned already. And then they returned and sat on the ox. Varemito. Look at the bed. The Yeshbo Kamei Groifim, you could stick in your fist, even if it's the fist of Ben Avatiach. Stick a few of your fists here. Utnan, and what do we learn? Rabbi Doimer, Noyag Meinu Shein Yishem Tachas Amidah Bifnei Azkenim. It's not oil. Why is this not oil, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Shani Mito, says the Gemara, beautiful Svara. Hoil Gaboa Suyo. If something is created by itself, okay. But if you create something and you say, I'm creating it to sleep on top, that's what a normal human being does. Which Meshuggah sleeps underneath a bed? No one. So if you're going to be different than everybody and sleep underneath the bed, there's no oil there. Because you created the oil, you created the mattress, you created everything to sleep on top. But a stone that was that has a, its own cavity that was nasibidei shamayim, that could be that maybe perhaps that is a good oil. That's what the Gemara is saying here. It's different than when pariv is a lot different than when you deliberately say it's not for underneath. That's different. Ask the Gemara, Shorm Naomi, Ligabona Suyon, an axe was created, or the, I should say, even whatever layer it is to hold the innards of this axe. It's made for on top of it. It's supposed to sit on top of an axe. No, you never used the underneath of the axe. He also wrote in a Rebbe Lazar, Shani Shvarim, Hoyel, Umeginim al Roim, Bnei Achama, Bechav Bnei Achama, Ubekshamim, Mipnei, Hakshamim. Here, I found a half a picture. I couldn't find the real one because I guess nobody in their right mind will sleep underneath the ox. But here I found a picture of a guy sleeping underneath the head of a cow. Happens! You have some interesting people out there. Once in a while, his mom is out cold, this guy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, this is a cow. Mamish, Arois. Okay, fine. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, you have to be really desperate to sleep underneath one of these cows, bulls. The cow decides, like, okay, now it's time for him to rest. Shalom Yisrael, it's finished. 2,000 pounds, boof. Okay? He also, Ravin Amar Belazar, Shani Shvarim. If you check it out, you'll see. There's, The mongoose, I believe, yeah. They have this relationship with the boars, the wild boars. So they'll go to the wild boar and they start picking out the ticks, thank you. Shavy! And they go underneath its belly and they start picking the ticks. And all of a sudden, I saw this. All of a sudden, the boar decides he's going to sit down. Pop, he sits. So either he crushes them alive or whatever, they have a nest and they get out of there. But you got to be careful from these animals. Rabbi said, be careful, don't sleep underneath. Elephants, bulls, it's not a good idea. Boars, if you're a mongoose, please hear me out. It's not a good idea. Okay. Says the Gemara, B'cham ibn Achama, sometimes the shepherd, it's so hot and he's so desperate, he'll go to seek shade underneath an animal. So yeah, the bull does give you some shade. U'b'ksham ibn Achshamim. And by the way, you know, I said this many times, in the safari, Rabbi Isa, if you ever go to the safari, what is the most dangerous, unpredictable animal in the safari? So the hippopotamus is the biggest killer of human beings. But the buffalo, craziest animal ever. You'll never know. He eats grass and all of a sudden he just charges and kills. Mamish, the most unpredictable, crazy animal. So don't ever sleep underneath a buffalo, which is basically what we're talking about here. Bulls, buffalo, same thing. Iyachi. But a bed also is there to protect the shoes. Why? Says Rashi, a Talmud Chacham puts shoes. Why does the Gemara pick shoes? So first of all, you're not supposed to put clothing and food. Food, it's a problem to put food underneath a bed. It's called shikha, the whole thing. But a Talmud Chacham says Rashi, very interesting. If you remember, we learned once, the Talmud Chacham puts only shoes beneath his bed so that his family knows, don't go next to his bed. It's not proper, it's not sneeze, whatever it is. You don't go looking for a Talmud Chacham under his bed. The only thing you'll find there are shoes. And you let the family know. It's only shoes. Ela Marava. So it's not such a great answer because, look, a bed is also made. Before we said a bed is made for on top. And I was saying, no, if it protects once in a while, beds protect shoes a lot more often than a bull protects a shepherd from the heat. Their back is made to protect the innards. The skin, the hide, and the meat, you'll dress me with bones and sinews. You're familiar with that word. So this is a svar that we mentioned the other day. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah needs to be a diras keva. Where do we learn that? First daf of the Masechta, right? So a sukkah has to be diras keva. Who else says that? We had 8 manda amrim that say it. It has to be, how do we know? Rabbi Yehuda said it should be, it could be above 20 am. It's not a problem because the sukkah must be keva. It has to be a permanent structure. The bed inside the sukkah is only a temporary structure. The sukkah oil keva. So therefore, the oil that the sukkah creates is permanent. A temporary structure cannot undo a permanent structure. And therefore, the bed is not a problem. Rib Shimon, who's one of the 8 Manda Omrim in that sugya, and Rib Shimon is the one that says that a sukkah needs to have 4 walls. Why does a sukkah need to have 4 walls, right? Why? Because a sukkah needs to be permanent, has to protect you from all the elements, etc. Yet, Rib Shimon himself holds, he holds that the temporary oil, the bed, could knock out the permanent. So maybe it's not such a good terrorist according in Rib Yehuda. Says Gemara, Baha Pligi, that's exactly the machloik is between Rib Shimon and Rib Yehuda. Marsav also oil arim about the oil keva. Umarsav also oil arim about the oil keva. That itself is the machloik. Can a temporary oil cancel out a permanent oil? Omer Rib Shimon, Maisi Betovi Avdi, Nu Sugi Rabbi. So in the Mishnah, this is the same Rib Shimon we were talking about a second ago. He's the Rib Shimon that says in the Mishnah, Maisi Betovi Avdi. Oh. That's where we see, not my phone, Baruch Hashem. This is where we see in our Mishnah that he brings the story of Tavi Avdoi that oil arai is mevatel oil keva, that only an eved could sleep underneath a bed. Tanya Rav Shimon, misichasai shereb gamliel lamanu shnei dvar. In our Mishnah, Rav Shimon says, we see from the fact that Rav Shimon gamliel said about his slave that he slept under the bed, we learn 2 things. L'manu shavadam turim min ha-sukkah. First of all, we see the idea that Eved is potter from the sukkah. V'lamanu shayoshim tachas hamita le'yotzi de'chivasei. And a regular human being, a gadol, Jewish gadol, is chayim in a sukkah and cannot sleep under a bed. Ask the Gemara, okay, good. V'leimah medvarav shavim gamaliel. Why does he use a lashon of sicha? Sicha means in passing. It was something that just came out of gamaliel and it happens to be. You should say Midvarav. He said 2 halachas. Milsa Agavurcha Kamashman says Gemara, you can learn a side thing from it. Ki Odom Ravacha Barado, Vamrilo, Ravacha Barado, Omar Rav, Amnuno Omar Rav, in the name of Rav. Minayin Shafidu Sichas Tamid Chachomim Tzichol Imud. We know that speech is very, very important. Like the Vilna Gaon says in the Geras Agra, Bekoshi Tiru Loimar Shalom Shabbos. You not even say the word Shalom on Shabbos. Extra words are not, you get punished for every extra word you say. So if a Talmud Chacham is speaking, he's not stam saying something. When he speaks, he injects halachas all the time. And that's what we're trying to say. That idea that the sicha, just a regular shmooze of a Talmud Chacham, tzricha limud, you need to look into it. Shenemar, v'aleyu le'yibol. Now if we were in Bet Shemesh, they would sing the song here. This is a famous song in Eretz Yisrael. You guys don't know it, so I'm not going to bother you. V'chol asher yaseh yitzliach. You know the song? V'chol asher yaseh yitzliach. Okay, good. That's what I thought. You don't know. You know? Avadi knows. V'hoyo kei tshosel palgi moyim. Talking about a tzaddik. Asher piryo yitein bi'itoi. He's going to give off the tzaddik. Will give off the fruit. V'aleyu le'ibol. His leaf won't wither. Meaning, what's a leaf? A leaf is something stam, like a simple thing. Even his sichas chulin, even his shmuz, his raid, lo yibo. It's not going to wither. In other words, you have to take it seriously. A maisa. I thought about this maisa because there's actually the word coming up. There's a guy by the name of Ephraim Memel. He's from the city of Memel in Germany. And the Russians caught him and they decided he's a spy and they wanted to put him to death. And the Chofetz Chaim stood up for him. The Chofetz Chaim went and testified, and they said, no, we're not going to free him, but we're not going to kill him. We're going to give him 10 years of hard labor. So the Chofetz Chaim said, they don't even know if they have 10 weeks, 10 years. So the Brisker Rav heard this, and he says, if the Chofetz Chaim said it, we're talking about Sichas Chulin, he just said it, then I guarantee you this guy in charge, the Caesar, whatever it was, he's done. He's a goner. And sure enough, within less than 10 weeks, they kicked him out and they freed all the political prisoners, including this Bachar. Just a word, just a in passing. I don't even know, 10 years. By the way, Stam, I think I mentioned this, but it's a beautiful story. And I said this not so long ago. But again, about the Chavetz Chaim, Reb Aaron Kotler, my father heard this from Reb Schneier, Zechariah of Baruch, Reb Schneier, the Shiva of Lakewood, the son of Reb Aaron, who I obviously heard from his own father. Reb Aaron Kotler went to the Chavetz Chaim one day, walked in there, and the Chavetz Chaim looked at him and he said, you know, when you start something, you should finish something. L'mashal, the Chavetz Chaim said, if a person learns all of Shas, and he doesn't finish Masechtas Nazir, what kind of... You gotta finish the Masechtas Nazir, finish Shas. Says Reb Aaron Kotler, he finished the entire Shas besides Masechtas Nazir. That's the only Masechta he had to finish, and the Chofetz Chaim just told him like that. Okay. The Seder says the Halakha Mishnah. The official Mishnah is sponsored by official. Here's the picture. You have the what are these called? The feet of the bed? Whatever, the post of the bed, puts the schach on the bed. Says the Mishnah, Ksheiro, it's kosher. Huh? Oh?
Maybe the bed's 4 tefachim thick with the
3 tefachim. That's enough walls. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ina yecholah lamoy b'fnei atzma psula. If it cannot stand, we have to see with the Gemara what it means exactly. Can't stand on its own, it's possible. Says the Gemara. My time in the Rabbi Yehuda. What's going on here? You see, this is the guy. Ephraim Memel, his name was. That's why I remember the Memel. It's not sturdy enough. It's not, doesn't have kvios. It's not permanent enough. We have to remember this idea. The idea of maimid lekabel tuma. What does maimid lekabel tuma mean? When you, a bed is mekabel tuma, can become tuma. You're holding up your schach, which is the main part of the sukkah, with something that's mekabel tuma. You cannot hold up your sukkah, halacha l'maisa, can't hold up your sukkah with something that's mekabel tuma. So, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, not everybody holds like this, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that l'chatchila, we should be careful not to put our schach on something that's mekabel tuma. At all. So, for instance, if you have one of those sukkahs, here I am going again against these sukkahs. There's a lot of people that have them. Those frame sukkahs that you put a piece of fabric around. And then you take your schach and you put it directly on top of the metal frame. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it's not a very good thing. You have to be careful. Maybe that's why some people put like a little strip of wood on top. I don't know. Now I'm thinking, I've seen that once. Like a piece of wood on top of the frame, and then you put your schach on that, because to put it directly on metal, which is mekabel tuma, is very problematic. They say even that even on a wall, which can be mekabel tuma, you shouldn't. But you don't really have to, the Mishnah Berurah says, you don't have to be nizer, some people say you do. But here is what's very interesting. I don't know if you know about this, but if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're very familiar with this. This is the sheet of the Chazon Ish. And that is, the Chazon Ish holds that even a maimed to a maimed, a second maimed is asur. In other words, you cannot have nails that nail in a piece of wood that's holding up the schach. And therefore, there are Chazon Ishniks that make their entire sukkah out of wooden pegs, and everything just fits in like a puzzle. They don't use any screws or any nails. And where does it come from? From this sugi right over here of maimed lekabel tuma. The Gemara talks about one. That's the actual piece of whatever is holding up the schach. And the Chazon Ish even says, we have to be makbid on a maimed a maimed. So my uncle actually in Muncie has a sukkah like that. All, he has like, they sell in Home Depot, like it's like a hollow brick that could hold a post. So he puts the post of the sukkah in that piece of concrete, whatever it is. So it doesn't have, and then everything fits in like a puzzle. It's all jigsawed out. Kitzer, it's a sight to behold. All right, says the Gemara. My Binaya, what's the difference if you say that it's a problem of Maimed Bedover Makabel Tuma, or you say that it's a Keva? Here you go, picture, beautiful. You have these metal very strong pieces of metal. So that's kavua. The problem is, that's mekabel tumo. So it avoids one problem, but it doesn't have it. There's another problem. Harei. If the problem is that it's not enough, it's not strong enough, this is very strong. Like these sukkahs that are made out of metal frames, it's a problem. And this is the end for today. It's only if you put the weight of the schach on it. If you put the schach on the bed, my time, it's sturdy enough. So if you don't put it directly, you put it on something that's like we discussed, something that's holding it up, then it's enough. It's not mekabel tuma, and it has kvios. And shalom Yisrael, raboisai. Have a wonderful day. I'm not going to see everybody tomorrow, but Beis Hashem, Thursday, if not by, just check the place. The time won't be the same, Beis Hashem, 8:30, but we might be at Yitzi Weiss's place, in case he does. If not, we'll be here. Raboisai, show up in Miami if you know what's good for you. Show these Chicagoans what we're all about in Miami.